made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation.
Brilliant, Adrian, thank you very much. Great to see everyone online, great to see those of us in the room as well. When I used to work in finance, I remember doing a time management course. We were all sent on it. And one of the questions the guy asked at the beginning was, imagine this month had a 30-second day in it. There was going to be a 30-second day of January, a free day just dropped into your diary. What would you do with it? And the idea was that whatever you would do with it, that was the kind of thing that you weren't doing enough of in life and needed to do more of and so on. But I think the thing that really struck me about it was how much I was longing for that 30-second day. How much would you give to have an extra day just dropping into your diary? And we're also busy, aren't we? With our work, our offices, our working hours, even our leisure hours, we seem to pursue with a kind of intensity. And of course, having been through COVID, we were all told to stay at home, but it seems like we just found new ways to get busy. You know, we got home, we rushed online, we realized that in the past we might have to choose between two meetings. Now we could do one Zoom meeting and straight into another one. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think any of us feel rested after this COVID period. They say that in the last 20 years, working hours in the West have risen by 15%. Do you know, I think it feels like more than that. Certainly around here in London, I think our working hours have increased significantly. And you know, we know this kind of pattern is unhealthy. We know we need rest. We have colleagues and friends who burn out, who get signed off. And yet somehow we struggle to get off the treadmill. You know, we postpone it. Next week, that's the week where I'll be able to take some time out. Next month, I just got to get through this period. So rest becomes something that's really good for other people or for another day. But we can't let go of it ourselves. And I think to break out of this, what we need is a deeper vision for rest. And that's what we find in the Bible. And it runs through the Bible, but it starts right at the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, in these verses that we're reading. So chapter 2, verse 2. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he'd done, and he rested on the seventh day. So we begin this creation story with God resting. And you know, if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, this is slightly peculiar, isn't it? Within the account, we've seen the wonder of creation. We've seen these 6 days of creation with the first three mirror, the next three. We've seen humanity last week created and the intimacy of God and humanity. And we're about to move on to the garden where we'll see them relating to each other. And then suddenly there's this weird thing where we're told that God rested. As the whole creation story is gathering pace, it just seems to suspend for a moment. It's slightly odd. And as the Bible goes on, its view of rest becomes no less strange. So you remember when we get to the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, the people are told that they're to take a Sabbath day's rest because God made heaven and earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was writing the Ten Commandments from scratch, or we would go out to the basin and ask people what they put in there, I think most of us would have things like don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, and so on. I think most of us would not have a day off in the kind of top 10 moral instructions. And the penalty in the Bible for not keeping the Sabbath is death. And we're told that one of the reasons that people of God get taken to exile in Babylon is because they've not kept the Sabbath. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's weird, isn't it? You would expect to find this teaching on the importance of rest maybe in the wisdom of Proverbs or tucked at the back end of one of Paul's letters. But actually, it's right at the heart of the Ten Commandments, and it's here in these foundational chapters at the beginning of Genesis. And I think that probably says that most of us don't view rest with the significance that the Bible does. And as I've grappled with this week, I think the key insight I've got is that the role of rest in the Bible is to remind me that God is at the center of creation and not me. In other words, the way that I rest for my work is a form of worship. I think instinctively, I think that rest is about me. It's about me recharging my battery so I can get out there and work harder next week, rebuilding my energy. But actually in the Bible, rest is about God. It's a moment where I set aside my work to delight in God's greater work, to worship him at the center of creation, not me. So I think that means that if I'm not resting alongside my work, it's not just that I'm unwise, but I'm not worshiping God as I should. rest isn't just sensible, but it's central to how we're made. It's not just wisdom, but it's an issue of worship. I'll expand on that, but look, what I want to do today is give us four reasons to rest that I hope will actually encourage us to actually do it ourselves, rather than just feel that it's a good thing for someone else. And the first is that we rest to delight in God's glory. Think back to that question of the 32nd day. I don't know what you do. Climb a mountain, go to an art gallery, have a day out with friends. I was slightly worried that some of us, myself included, might be thinking, I could clear out my email inbox. I could start the next day with zero emails. That'd be amazing. If so, maybe the time has come for us to delight afresh in God's glory and see what he's doing. Because I think that is the rest that God is taking here. So you can see it there in verse 1. There is a sense here of completion. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the hosts of them. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested. God's rest has a sense of completion. It's not that he needs a breather. It's that he's created this wonderful world, and now he steps back like an artist finishing a piece of work and putting down his paintbrush, or someone putting down their pen at the end of an exam, or hitting send on that work report we've been working on all week on a Friday afternoon. Or maybe if you've done some DIY recently, I did some the other week, it's very painful. But that moment when you've painted a bathroom, you stand back and you look at it and you delight in what you've achieved. Or in my case, you think it's not too bad. So I think rest is to stand alongside God and to delight in his glory as we see it in creation. In other words, man is not the climax of creation. You know, last week we saw God creates all these different days. We get to day 6. Up till now, everything has been good. God creates humanity and everything is very good. Humanity is in God's image. Humanity is going to rule over creation. We're going to see with that working out next week in chapter 2. Why does the creation story not end at day 6 with humanity created and everything very good? Because the climax of creation is not the creation of humanity. The climax of creation in this Genesis narrative is that moment where God rests having finished his work. You can see how what the writer of Genesis is doing is putting the spotlight right back onto God on that seventh day. This is his world. He is at the center of it and not me. And of course, our tendency as humanity is to put ourselves right at the center. So I think one reason we rest is to delight in God's glory. So what makes a good weekend or a day off if we're working a shift pattern? Well, it's not just that I recharge. I think it's also that I enjoy God's creation, that I remember that this creation is not mine, that it's his. I take a moment to stop being preoccupied with my own work and to delight in God's work. Then, I mean, I'll be thankful. We've talked about that already in this series. And I'll take time out to delight and to be thankful in God's creation. That may be some unhurried time praising God as I open the Bible. It may be going for a walk and standing on top of a mountain and praising him. But in some sense, I'm going to try and take time to reset my worship onto God. To quote one of the great philosophers of our age, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. We need to take time to delight in God's glory. And actually, Calvin used to say that as we do that, as we delight in God, God works in us. Because I'm no longer sort of so self-absorbed with my own work. I'm capable of putting him back at the center of creation, because his work ultimately is so much greater than mine. So I can sort of really strictly keep a Sabbath day off. But if my aim is all about me and me recharging so I could be more effective, it's actually a godless rest. Our rest should in some sense be focused on God. So we rest to delight in God's glory. But maybe that feels a bit purposeless. We don't like the idea of just sitting around on a mountain. Well, I think secondly, we rest to hope in God's promises. I was watching an episode of Death in Paradise the other week. It's probably not the best quality rest you can get. But there was a moment at the end of it where the detective solved the murder by saying, it's not what's at the crime scene, it's what's missing. Would you notice what's missing from these verses in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3? It's the beginning and the end of the day. So look back to chapter 1, you get it repeatedly, this theme that each of the days up till now has a morning and an evening, the end of the day. So chapter 1, God creates light, and the end of it, we're told there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Come on to the seventh day, that's the big thing that's missing. There's no evening, there's no morning. The day doesn't end. And as we read on through the Bible, rest, this day of rest, becomes a picture of heaven, of God's great eternal rest to come. If you want a cross-reference, you see that really clearly in Hebrews chapter 4. There remains a rest for the people of God, and we're to strive to enter that rest. In other words, there's God's rest back at the beginning of time, but it points us forward to the eternal rest of the new creation. So that Genesis 2 rest, that sense of completion, of satisfaction, of arriving with everything it should be, ultimately is yet to come. Because what we'll see in a couple of weeks' time is that mankind sins, and it's not until we enter that new creation that we'll get rest, not just from work, but rest from sin, where we'll properly arrive with everything complete. So our rest should be pointing us forward to that ultimate rest to come. A while ago, I went to Longleat with the kids, and they've got one of those mazes in a hedge there. And as you walk towards the middle is up on a viewing platform. So one minute you're walking around surrounded by hedges, and every now and then you can look up and see where it is you're trying to go. Well, I think a day of rest at one level is a chance for us just to look up and to see where it is that we're headed, to hope in God's promises. You know, so often in the week, all I can see before me is my goals for that working week, my to-do list, what I need to get done, what I need to achieve, my agenda. And I think rest is a chance to step away from that and to do so for long enough that I get my eyes off my to-do list and put it onto God's to-do list, if you like, to set my eyes on the new creation to come. And, you know, in this world that we're in now, when we're all connected at home and we've all got all our work emails on our devices, if I'm always checking my work email, I'll never get to that moment where I've actually taken time to forget about that work to-do list and reset my mind on what God is doing. Again, it's not so much recharging my batteries as refocusing my heart. So again, we think, what makes a good weekend or a good day off? I think it's stepping aside from the tasks that are yelling at me, the voices that are telling me what to do, and seeing God's agenda for my life, thrilling my heart with His plans. You know, my goal is not to get off the graduate training scheme or to qualify or to get a corner office. It's far more wonderful than that. When I started work at Schroders, they told me that I should be aiming to be a director by the time I was 30. That's a good thing to do, that's fine. But it's not God's ultimate plan for my life. I can work at that, but I need to remind myself where He's ultimately leading me. So often we think we've arrived in life when we complete that work project, or when we get that promotion, or when we pass that exam. But actually, the true sense of having arrived, of ultimate fulfillment, isn't something we'll experience until heaven. And I wonder if a lot of our over-busyness in this life is striving from the fulfillment of heaven today. So again, it's about setting God at the center of creation and not myself. And I think this also has applications, by the way, for people who aren't working, who are retired, who are unemployed. I think often, actually, they don't have an employer to send them home at the weekend, and their to-do list can just dominate all of the time. So it's hoping in God's promises. But it's a peculiar kind of goal, because as we look to the future, so often we're inclined to get busy. But the third reason, I think, to rest is to depend on God's grace. So look back at the verses. Who is it who's doing everything here, who's bringing this eternal rest into being? Well, it's God. The heavens and the earth were finished, and the whole host of them. On the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. It's His world. He made it. It's His work in which He delights. And what is true of this world is true of the creation to come. It'll be His world, and He will lead us there. So I don't need to earn my way to heaven. I depend on God's grace. Again, that's the big thrust of Hebrews, if you want to look there. But actually, we see it really simply in one of Jesus' most famous statements. Do you remember that, what He says in Matthew 11? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a very vivid image, isn't it? You picture two oxen in the field dragging along a heavy plow. If I'm seeking ultimate satisfaction, or if I'm seeking to live a good enough life for God in this life, I'll just find myself dragging along this weight of disappointment and guilt and making amends. And Jesus says, come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. all of us sin. All of us live lives that don't please God, and it's a heavy burden, isn't it? But when Jesus died on the cross, he died in our place, taking the punishment for our sin. And at that moment, if you like, it's as if he lifts that heavy burden of guilt and sin off us and onto his shoulders, that we might have rest from guilt and rest to enter heaven. So we enter heaven by depending on God's grace. And what's this got to do with weekly work patterns? Well, I think, therefore, if we have a weekly pattern of rest, it is a powerful reminder to depend on God's grace in our daily lives. I mean, here's a question for you. Why is it that the people of the Old Testament struggled to keep the Sabbath day of rest? It was not a hard thing to do in one sense, but presumably it's because if the crops are out in the field and they're ready to be harvested and it happens to be the Sabbath and the day when you're supposed to rest, it's kind of hard to sit there and not get out and do it. Or if you have traders knocking at the city wall and they want to trade with you today and you have to send them away and wait till tomorrow, you've really got to trust God that it's not going to rain overnight, that they'll still be there in the morning. It's hard to do that. And I think so often we struggle with the same kind of thing. We struggle to trust God. We think we're indispensable. I think I must work because without me, this whole department will fall apart. We pride ourselves on being busy. You know, it's a badge of honour, isn't it? How are you doing? I'm really busy. Yeah, I'm really busy. Equals, I'm really important. And I just wonder if actually the call to rest in the Bible is a chance for us to take time out and acknowledge to God that the world will not fall apart without us. And actually, if we're under that kind of pressure at work, we need to do something about it. And we need to trust God with our career development. So actually, I'm going to take some time out. I'm going to pray and leave that with the Lord. So I think there's a sense in which resting week in, week out enables us to cultivate a heart of dependence. Because I'm going to walk away from my desk and I'm going to trust God that it's going to work out. So we rest to depend on God's grace. And then fourthly, we rest to live according to God's rhythms. So there is a sense in which the days run all the way through this narrative of creation, right? Day one, day two, day three, day four, and now this is the seventh day. This story of creation doesn't need to be structured according to days and told by time. But that is what God chooses to do. And he blesses the seventh day and he makes it holy. And that's then fulfilled in the Old Testament Sabbath law. And then it's fulfilled in Jesus when he says that he's the fulfillment of the Sabbath. And so I think there is a rhythm in Genesis chapter 1 of the coming and going of the days. And there is a wisdom in living according to that rhythm and working 6 days and taking one day's rest. It's a bit like you know, when they record something in a recording studio and the drummer goes in first and records the drum line, and then other people go in and layer up the recording on top. It's as if God here at the beginning of creation is putting down this rhythm of 6 days work and one day's rest. And I think there's wisdom to keeping to it. One of the reasons that they're told to keep the Sabbath in Exodus is for refreshment. Now, Christians will have different views on how strictly this command comes down to us today. So some people would say, you must take Sunday off and Sunday only and do no work on that, and that's fine. Personally speaking, I respect that. I'm of the view that the particular Sabbath command was to Israel. I don't think Jesus commanded us to do it. He reiterates all the other 10 commandments, and he says he's rather fulfilled the Sabbath, so it's the one he doesn't reiterate. And in Acts 15, the Jewish churches tell the Jewish, when they talk to the non-Jewish churches about what they need to do, they don't insist on a Sabbath. I think the early church met on a Sunday as the first day of the week. I don't think there's evidence they rested that day. So I don't think we're commanded to do only to not work on a Sunday. But I think there is a rhythm here that we are wise to follow. So if your shift pattern has got you on an 8-day week, or if it requires you to take your day off not on a Sunday, I don't think that's a problem. Christians will differ. But I think there is a wisdom in living according to God's rhythm, because rest is important to us. And, you know, having said all along that we need to be focused on God, I think actually recharging is important, not least for our godliness. I know if I've had a bad night's sleep, one of the first things I need to pray the next morning is that I won't be grumpy the next day. So I think there is something about establishing good rhythms of rest, and all the more so post-COVID. I mean, when we are working at home so much more, it's much harder to keep boundaries, isn't it? I don't know if you found this. It's so easy just to drift to your laptop in the evening, or at the weekend is because it's there and it's all set up now. Let's decide what hours we're going to work. Let's work them and then let's stop. Let's decide what day we can take off. And maybe that's a day to turn the data off on our phones and not check the email and so on. And if we have a busy spell at work, I get, you know, that does happen. Sometimes we're flat out. But is it just for now or is it permanent? And if every week has a reason why this particular week is busy, but it'll be different next week, and next week isn't different, then actually we need to recognize the pace that we're living at and not kid ourselves otherwise. So I think there is supreme wisdom here in living according to God's rhythm. So look, there's four reasons to rest from Genesis chapter 2 that I hope will actually incentivize us to get good patterns of rest in alongside the intense working lives that we lead. Delight in God's glory, hope in God's promises, to depend on God's grace, and to live according to God's rhythm. But if you want it in a nutshell, rest is not about me recharging my batteries, but it's about me worshipping God and reminding myself